Unfortunately, the costs that are associated with homeschooling often hold some families back from making the switch to a homeschooling lifestyle. And sometimes it's what makes others change their mind and put their kids back into school. Or it's also just a misconception that homeschooling has to cost a lot of money. Today, we are going to talk about a budget-friendly way of homeschooling your children. And it doesn't matter if you have a very small, minuscule budget or a large budget. I think that you're going to find some ideas that are very useful in this episode today, whether you are homeschooling or you are thinking about homeschooling or you just want to know how to encourage friends or to be able to talk people through this decision and this aspect of it that's holding them back. Because we have a misconception that education is going to cost a lot of money. Did you know that the government, specifically your state government, who also receives money from the federal government, spends thousands of dollars every single year on every single child? But you can provide a wonderful, robust, and meaningful education to your children with a very small budget, I promise you. Welcome to Little by Little Homeschool Podcast, where you'll learn tips and strategies that will empower you to home educate your children. I'm Lee Nguyen, a homeschool mom of over 12 years, which includes two graduates. When I started homeschooling, I was pretty much on my own and was desperate for encouragement and help. My mission is to be a source of encouragement and help to you. Whether you are just beginning your homeschool journey or you're deep into the homeschool lifestyle, Little by Little Homeschool wants to help you stay the course, because all the time you are investing into your children is completely worth it. If you're ready to take your homeschool to new levels, keep listening. The amount of money that you have set aside and that your family is investing into homeschooling your children is not equal to the level of education that you can and will provide for your children. There is only one thing that you need in order to homeschool your children, and it is not a large budget. It is actually not even any type of monetary number that I can give you. The only thing you need is the desire to homeschool. And any budget, whether your budget is $5, $50, $500, or $5,000, any budget can homeschool their children. I mentioned in the intro to this that the government spends thousands of dollars. I was at a meeting, it was probably about 6 to 9 months ago, and they were talking about just education. To be honest, I was wishing I wasn't there. My husband said I needed to go and meet these people. And I'm just going to flat out tell you, I don't have anything in common with them because I'm not looking to try and reform what the government's doing. I'm looking to reform what is happening within people's homes and how they're educating and giving you ideas and so that you can follow what is best for your family. And I heard the exact numbers that are spent on every single child because there's a lot of overhead. There is a lot of administration. There is just a lot that goes into it. But you don't have that overhead. You don't have the administration. You don't have a building upkeep. Yes, you have your home and there's finances and that kind of stuff. And when you are home, some of those bills might go up. You might notice that your electric bill is a little bit higher if you are now all home and homeschooling. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's completely worth it. Trust me. But they spend thousands of dollars. And when you look at overall the result among, just we'll say in the general population, I'm not talking about specific children that go on to become, you know, great things. I'm not saying that, but just overall, as an average, it's not turning out so well. But I'm going to bet that it's turning out better for the homeschoolers, and it's going to turn out even better because I know that there are millions of homeschoolers now in 2024. Than there were just even a couple of years ago, and it's so exciting. But what I want you to take away from today's episode is that you can homeschool your children on any or no budget at all. When we began homeschooling, we had a very, very tiny budget for homeschooling, and we were living on a single income. We still do that. If you're curious how we do that, living on a single income, there is an episode, and I will link it in the show notes. So you can go back and listen to that. I'd like to tie this episode and that one together because in that episode, I did mention that I will talk about budgets. And here it is. Here's the episode about it. I actually felt very self-conscious about our homeschool budget. I had one friend who homeschooled, as I have mentioned numerous times, and their budget was much greater than mine. She showed me all her curriculum and everything she was using, and as I began to research more, I was like, that's not an option. But you know what? Sometimes we can feel like we are maybe less than because somebody else is homeschooling with a bigger budget and they can afford all of this curriculum and we cannot. And I'm going to tell you right now, I struggled for years thinking that I wasn't providing my children with a robust enough and education and it wasn't good enough. I'm so beyond that right now. And that was fine for her to have that budget and to have that curriculum. It worked great for them. But what we did worked great for us too. I remember wishing that I had the budget to just buy an open and go box curriculum. And I'm not knocking on that at all. If you can do that and you have done that and it works for your family, good for you. But I didn't have that budget. And so therefore, I had to put things together and be super creative with it. And I'm going to share with you some of my main takeaways when it comes to that. But I just want to just take a moment right now and encourage you that if you don't have a huge budget for homeschooling, it is okay. It can actually be a blessing if you look at it like that. But let's dive into those tips and these ideas that I have for you. Maybe you want to scratch them down on a piece of paper or just wait and see what sticks out in your mind that will work for your family and is a maybe first necessary step that you need to take. These aren't necessarily in any particular order except for the first one. The first one is that you have to have a budget. Sit down, have a conversation with your husband. Maybe this budget goes along with your family budget and it goes by a calendar year, so January through December. That's okay if you take the summers off or you school year round, it's okay. And sometimes when you look at a budget January through December, I remember we first switched to that. I was like, I can't do that because I'm used to thinking in a school year, but I've gotten used to it. I've gotten accustomed to it, but you have to have a budget. Again, whether it's $5, $50, $500, $5,000, somewhere in between there, it's okay. Have that conversation though, so that you know how much you can spend. Because if you don't have that conversation and you go and spend $1,000 and then your husband says, oh, wait a minute, you know, we needed that for this, or we need that savings. I don't know your financial situation, but please have that conversation with him and please stay within that budget. But also know that sometimes things come up and you might need to get creative. But the first step is you have to have a budget and work really, really hard to stick to that budget. And don't think that that budget is holding you back from educating your children well. It is not. It's just the guardrails for what you can purchase. There's a lot more you can do outside of that, and we'll get to it. But no matter your budget, I want to encourage you to invest what you can in math and language arts. First is going to come the math. I have just personally found that it was worth investing in the math in a program that really set them up, that they were so much better at math. And maybe it came from the fact that I really struggled in school with math, but if I learned the way that they did, I don't think I would have struggled as much. So it was worth it for me to put a bigger part of our budget into math. Now, you probably have multiple children. You're saying, well, even if I was to invest for multiple children in this math and they each have a different grade level, that's going to go over my budget. I would suggest first look at your oldest children. Invest in them. Maybe that's one or two or three that you can do. And the younger ones just do some free worksheets or some workbooks that you find, or they just do life math. And eventually then you can continue to invest and then get the younger grades as well. But first look at investing in math and language arts. If you can only do one, do math. You'll be able to piecemeal the language arts. But if you can do both, do that. The next really great resource is the library. If you have a library card, you can homeschool. You don't even need to purchase anything at all. But again, if you have the money in your budget, I would highly recommend the math and language arts. It just makes it easier and takes that weight off of your shoulders, especially if you're beginning to homeschool and you have no experience at all in education and don't know about education as far as learning styles and all of those things, then it'll be a little bit harder for you. So if you can invest in the math and language arts, go and do that. And the library can fill in the rest. This doesn't mean you have to necessarily go to the library. I know some people don't love the library, but you can put books on hold and you can go and pick them up and bring them home and you can go through all the books at home. You can also use other resources like thriftbooks.com. I love being able to buy used books there. But when you can, use your library to piece in different subjects and different books. You can just maybe do their, if they have an app or audiobooks, you can do that as well. The next thing you can do also is to borrow and or trade books with friends. I have done that where our kids aren't the same ages. We have kids that are in between each other. And so sometimes with things like math curriculum, we've passed back and forth. I'm like, hey, I have 8th grade of this math and I'm looking for 9th grade and you have an older, you know, we'll just kind of trade back and forth. And so for that year, we'll switch and then we'll switch back. And then sometimes when I get to the point now that I am with my oldest, I'm like, go ahead and keep it because I don't need it anymore. But borrow and trade with friends. However, if you borrow friends' books, please return them. This is somebody speaking here who has had books and things not returned because we can often forget. We lend somebody something, especially a book, and then we never get it back. So be very conscientious of making sure that you give back the books to them. You can also buy used, like I mentioned earlier, thriftbooks.com for just maybe regular books. You might be able to get some curriculum as well. But check out maybe some local Facebook groups and see if there is some type of curriculum sale book. See if there are curriculum sales that are going on in your community. Sometimes you might have to travel a little bit, and it might be worth it. You might be able to find a homeschool used book store. I remember having one when my kids were just a couple years into homeschooling, and it was about a 45-minute drive, so I did not go there very often, and it was like a big deal to get everybody in the car, and we would get there, and I would go there on a nice day so they could just kind of play out in the woman's yard and then the driveway and by the car a little bit while I went in and checked out what she had, and then you could also then bring in stuff that you wanted to sell, and then she would sell it for you. So I would go there maybe once a year. But check out used stuff. You can look online as well. There are some websites that have curriculum that you can buy and sell. So it's definitely worth looking into. For me, when we first started out, I didn't know about any of this stuff, and I bought pretty much everything new in the beginning. And now my first go-to is to see where first I can borrow or trade with a friend. Or then I look and see where I can get it used. There are also a lot of free resources online. When you are homeschooling now in the world of online, and it wasn't really what it is now when I started homeschooling, maybe it was a little bit and I didn't know about it because I wasn't really in the internet world. But now there are so many free resources. But that doesn't mean that you should take advantage of every single free resource out there. Maybe you don't want your kids online or you don't want them in front of screens much, well then really pick what is important for me to have them do. Well, maybe you can spend a lot of time outside and that can be your science. But history, you want to learn about maybe the Civil War. Well, it's going to be hard to do that just outside in your backyard. So that's maybe where you tie in some online resources. You can also find resources in person. Maybe there are some local nature centers, or maybe there's local museums and they'll give you a discount, or maybe they'll offer free homeschool days. There are some really big places that are in the country. I know that at least I remember hearing about Williamsburg, Virginia, would have a homeschool week and there'd be a huge discount that week. So you can look into that if that's a trip that maybe you want to take. But look for in-person things that are going to be free or cheap, or you can get some coupons or buy them discounted online. There are a lot of options out there right now. And sometimes maybe it's just your child wants to learn about something specific. Maybe they want to learn about becoming a veterinarian or about what a veterinarian does. Call a local veterinarian and say, hey, you know, we homeschool and I have an 8-year-old who would love to know what you are doing. Is it possible we can set up a time and we are able to come in? Well, they're not going to charge you any money. That is free learning right there. And that is in person. And so count that as quote-unquote school. Okay, I've got a couple more here. The last couple things I want to mention here are less practical, tactical, and they're more of your mindset and how you're going to think about things. I want to tell you is not to think less or more of yourself based upon your homeschool budget. It does not define you how much you can spend on homeschool and educating your children. That does not define you. Do not allow it to define you. If you have a small budget, that's okay. It just means you get to be more creative. It just means you get to look and see what different resources are out there. So don't think anything less of yourself. And then the opposite can go true. true as well is that if you have a large budget and you can provide your children with every single co-op and every single activity and all the curriculum and all kinds of online opportunities, that doesn't mean that you're homeschooling and your kids are going to be better off or that they are better than the other homeschool family that you look over and see in the homeschool co-op that is operating on a much smaller budget. We are not more or less than each other, and our children are not more or less than each other, and our families are not more or less of each other based upon our budget. We have a lot more in common than we don't have in common when it comes to homeschooling. Even if you homeschool in a completely different style, we can look at each other and know we've got a camaraderie there. She's in the trenches, I'm in the trenches too. So don't let the budget divide you among friendships. Don't let it hold you back from being friends with other people. And don't let it control how you think about yourself and about your family and about your finances and about how you're educating your children. The last thing I want to mention is that I highly want to encourage you, and it's going to be hard at first, but to be generous with what you have. If you don't have a lot of resources, a lot of curriculum, but you have a really great backyard, why don't you invite your homeschool friends over? Let them have fun. Play in the backyard. You can sit there and tell all the moms, bring a lunch with you for you and your kids. We can have picnic lunches. I've got a great big backyard and I've got a bathroom that they can come in and use. Let's do that. Be generous with what you have. If you have time, offer that time to others. Maybe there's a mom who is struggling and could use somebody to come alongside her right now and maybe have her kids over once a week for a couple of hours. Be generous with what you do have and don't focus on what you don't have. Maybe you don't have a couple hundred dollars to give to a friend, but maybe you can offer your time, you can offer your resources, you can help drive her kids around if maybe she is busy with other things or she just had a newborn. Be generous with what you have. But that also goes with being generous with the curriculum and the resources that you have. Be generous in lending things in hopes and hopefully they return it, but maybe make yourself a note so that at the end of the school year, you can follow up and ask them. Because I think that most times, if people don't return things, it's because they have forgotten that they have it. And I would also highly encourage, go ahead and put a sticker on the front of the books that you do lend out if you want them back with your name on it. But I have found, just overall in life, that generosity attracts generosity, and we're called in the Bible to be a generous people. There have been times where my family's budget has been stretched so thin, but I found that just being generous added a joy into my heart, and I was able to bless someone else, and that takes the thoughts and the focus off of ourselves, and that puts the focus onto somebody else. So be generous with what you do have. Now we're talking about budget-friendly stuff, and I've got something that's very budget-friendly for you. It's actually free. If you haven't checked out the daily chore checklist yet, I want to encourage you to do that. It is a freebie just for you. You can find that at littlebylittlehomeschool.com/daily chores. I'll put the link in the show notes. So what is this, you're wondering? Well, it's basically a sheet you can print out, and it's cute too, right? And you can write down what chores that you want to get done every single day. This chore checklist will last you a week. You can print out a couple of them. It'll last you a couple weeks. Print out four of them. It's for a month. And every single day, when that chore is done, you can check it off. Instead of constantly trying to remember everything that needs to be done, because you have a lot that you're remembering, now you can remember the extra stuff that is just random that you need to go and do. Oh, I need to go pick this up, or I need to get this. You don't have to remember to maybe take out the garbage or sweep off the back steps or to give the bathroom a quick little wipe down, because it's written down on your daily chore checklist. So you can go ahead and get that for free. I mean, that is definitely on the budget-friendly side, right? And it's just a little gift from me to you. Thank you for listening, friend. I'd love to connect with you more. You can find social media links in the show notes and share this episode with a friend who could use a boost to her homeschool. See you back here real soon.